in my heart, Allah Ta'ala has inserted a subject matter, a topic, some words, and I would like to bring those words out and share them with you. May Allah Ta'ala for me and for all of you make these words beneficial. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has, via the blessed words of Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, has given us the guidance of many things. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has, via the blessed words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, told us and guided us the way to recite du'as to seek protection. And these learnings have come through to us. And there are many du'as in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, via Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah has brought those du'as through to us, which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has done du'a and sought protection or refuge, we can say refuge. And mashallah, this is the habit of many insan, many human beings, that Allah save us from Jahannam and the fire of Jahannam and fitna of Dajjal, etc. These are uta'awuz, all seeking refuge and protection. And these are very solid and strong du'as where we ask Allah Ta'ala for protection and refuge, because there's destruction and loss one upon the other. And very dangerous they are. Allah Ta'ala knows that how dangerous these things are for us and how much loss there is. And especially in du'a, we include these du'a that Allah save us from this or protect us from this. We seek refuge from this. Yes, it's regular that we ask for Allah Ta'ala from protection from the severity of death, from the adab of the grave. And obviously these are severe things and painful things. So when we seek refuge from Allah, protection from Allah, then Allah prepares for that protection and gives it to us. Allah says, my servant's asking from me protection, shelter, refuge. And then obviously Allah Ta'ala accepts du'as. And these du'as are very great. And in the events and in great days and nights and times during the year, and majlis and Laylatul Qadr, or after Fajr we ask for du'as, or tahajjud time, or after dhikr we ask for du'as. So Allah Ta'ala accepts these du'as, isn't it? So then that thing that we've asked for du'a, whatever we request from Allah, protection, refuge, then Allah Ta'ala gives that person protection. For example, we ask for du'a that Allah that save us from the severity of death. We say this, don't we? So alhamdulillah, then Allah Ta'ala prepares for that. We say this, don't we? So alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala then prepares. And according to the niyyah, the intention of that person, that is he saying it like a parrot from his mouth, or is he saying it from the depths of his heart? Does he have khawf that when we speak about adab-e qabr, the punishment of the graves, then the eyes should become a bit soft and tender? Now what is the adab, the punishment? For example, you're asking somebody for money. If you ask from your heart, then your eyes and mouth and hands, etc., will humbly submit that for the sake of Allah, I'm distressed, I'm hungry, please give me some money. You see the faqir, the beggar who's begging, those who are proper hungry, then their condition and emotions change because they're hungry. Genuinely, so the person who has khawf, fear of Allah, and he's asking for something that is very substantial, that when he asks, then the person, for example, his beard will be wet with the tears because he's genuine, sincere. That how can I be saved from this adab Allah? We seek your protection and forgiveness. That how can we be saved from the difficulties at death and after? And then Allah Ta'ala prepares for that success. So especially the points, the words that came into my heart, it's a lengthy subject that Allah Ta'ala has put into my heart. So I am presenting in your service. Do dua that I can speak to you about this subject because the thoughts come. But to demonstrate those thoughts and to share them is difficult for me. I don't have the words, I don't have the phrases, I don't know the method of speaking. So for the sake of nasiha, guidance, I speak and I share and discuss with you. So with regards to the protection of Allah and of Allah Ta'ala to forgive us, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us how to seek protection from Allah. This is a beautiful dua and request. Very beautiful and substantial method. And we say that Allah, the difficulties that come that you've written my destiny, they are going to come. They are for sure going to come. But through the difficulty, that problem, the severity, Allah save me from the severity of the difficulties. This is the dua to ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second dua to ask Allah So first is to be saved from, protected from the severity of the difficulty. And the second thing to ask from is that Allah save me from being unfortunate. Badbakht. A person who is severely unfortunate. Allah save me from this. Save me from a poor destiny. And from being extremely unfortunate. This is a very big dua. A very big dua. And difficulty, the severity of difficulty. And badbakhti, which is to be severely unfortunate, this is also a punishment on a person. And a person doesn't know about that severity of the or being unfortunate. May Allah Ta'ala forgive us and save us from this. There's an incident I'd like to share with you so that we can understand them. From here we will learn also the status and the glory of the walis of Allah. This is in my mind. My Shaykh Hazrat Mujaddad, our Shaykh Hazrat Mujaddad Al-Aftani, Rahmatul Alayhi, Sirajul Awliya, Sayyidul Awliya, he was a great Shaykh with a great Kamal, a great status, great ma'rifah and knowledge of Allah, and nearness to Allah, and his maqam, the heights of his maqam and his status is such, which is stated that either the enlightenment that came to Mujaddad Al-Aftani, Rahmatul Alayhi, that knowledge, and what is that? That the harf alif lam mim, these haruf, the letters in the Quran, nobody knows the meanings of these. But Hazrat Mujaddad al-Aftani had the ma'rifah, the ilm, the knowledge of this. Allah Ta'ala gave him that knowledge. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had this, and Hazrat Mujaddad al-Aftani understood the meaning of these haruf. So his son was a wali of Allah, born a wali of Allah, and his ustad was Tahir Lahori, Rahmatullah, who used to teach him fiqh, kitabs and durus, etc. And such a child who is the son of such a great sheikh, then his ustad, obviously Allah Ta'ala will have prepared that teacher or chosen that teacher, ustad, to teach such a great son of a wali of Allah, who's the son himself is a wali of Allah. So if he was a great wali of Allah himself, Hazrat Mujaddad al-Aftani, his son, mashallah, was a wali of Allah from birth at that time. The walis of Allah at that time would say that your son, his maqam is this. We can see this from the beginning. And they would say this, the walis of that time, the awliya Allah. Because he was the son of the Mujaddad, the reviver of the deen, of the reviver of Islam. So by chance, what happened? That Hazrat Mujaddad al-Aftani had to go somewhere, he saw, and he lowered his face. Lowered his face. And the children were a bit distressed. That Abbajan, our father, how comes we don't see that you're feeling very good, that you've met our ustad and you're not feeling good? He said, yes, I met the ustad, the teacher, and I was a bit sad after seeing him. Why? Because on his forehead it was written, shaqi, the person of doubt, or person of badbakht, yani bad luck, unfortunate. So what we realize is that this person is very unlucky, very unfortunate. And it's written, a person on his face, it's written on his wujud, zina, or the sins, everything comes onto the physical appearance. And the person who has the basira, the vision, he can see this was the walis of Allah, they have this status, Allah gives them the strength and the vision, the basira, that they can see. So he saw this on the forehead of the ustad, Allahu Akbar. And this is the hikmah of Allah, the wisdom of Allah, that Hazrat Shaykh Mujaddad Thani saw this, and then he asked, that he said, I will tell you, but I'm very sad to say this. He said that on the forehead of the ustad, your forehead is written that you are unlucky, you are unfortunate, you are shaki, your teacher. He's like this. So that was their beloved teacher. When they heard this, they started to cry. His children. They said, Abbaji, father, how can this be? Do dua for our teacher. He said, I can't do this dua. Because this is destiny. The only one wali Allah has passed, due to whom Allah Ta'ala removed the taqdeer, the destiny. That was Ghaus Pak Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi. He had a high maqam. And he once did dua to Allah, that Allah changed the destiny of this person, what you've written. Then Allah Ta'ala listened to his dua and accepted it and changed the destiny of that person from whom the dua was being made. So the children said, no, Abbaji, please, you ask. And they started to cry. He said, okay, For your sake, I will ask and request the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they asked, he as a Mujaddani made the dua that you change the destiny based on your mahbub, your beloved wali, my mawla. Give me your fadl and grace for the ustad of my children, that this unlucky and unfortunate person, his bad qismat, his bad destiny, and what's written on his forehead, that he's extremely unfortunate, unlucky. Allah, give your karam and mercy and wipe away this scar from his forehead. Allah Ta'ala accepted the dua. Subhanallah. And change the course of that person's destiny. Subhanallah. Look at the shan, the glory of the walis of Allah. So Allah Ta'ala changed that destiny, the course, and when after dua he saw, he said, Mubarak, congratulations, your ustad, his destiny has been altered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's been taken out of being an unfortunate person. So this is the severity of a person who is unfortunate, but bakht, a very unlucky person, unfortunate person, without any barakat. So Allah Ta'ala, we seek Allah's protection for this. So who is the person who is extremely unfortunate and unlucky, or has a bad destiny? Who is this person? So according to the dunya, the world, we can have examples. I can easily give you the example of a person who is very unfortunate or unlucky. For example, if there's a man or a person and Allah Ta'ala has given him a business, a vast business, lots of shops or companies and stock and mal, and the children are born into that home. They grow up, our parents have a lot of wealth and money. They are wealthy and they are big shots in society, so called. And the children don't have appreciation. They start to waste the mal and excessive spending, and they destroy the business. And then people say that these people are badbakht. They are extremely unfortunate and unlucky, or have a bad destiny because they don't appreciate their parents' wealth. Or somebody falls into a problem, distress, ajeeb, weird types of issues. And people say, he says, oh, I'm badbakht, I don't know, one after the other, issues are coming around me, my life's collapsing around me. People say, oh, I'm so unlucky, why am I so unlucky? But the individual doesn't know what in reality is a person who's unlucky. They don't know. We just base it on worldly factors. So these are exterior or physical factors, but the protection we are asking from Allah for being unlucky and fortunate is that a human being, a Muslim, should not depart from this world without iman. And when he does and he goes into hellfire, that is the unlucky and unfortunate person, badbakht, that we are referring to here, Islamically. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to the sadaqah of iman for the insan, for the human beings, for us to be saved from Jahannam, for us to be saved from the adab, the punishments, Allah Ta'ala has given the total preparation and methodology for the Ummah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Has given us wasail, Allah gives us the means, the techniques and methods and lifestyle to be saved from being extremely unlucky. In other words, going into hellfire. And for every generation, I'll give this, just like the Ustad, on his forehead was written, extremely unlucky. He had a high maqam, people running after him, Shaykh al-Hadith, but his destiny was not good. So when a human being, he's going towards hellfire, and he's destroying his life and the wealth of Iman, he or she is wasting it, he is rejecting Allah's ahkams, no manners or differentiation between halal and haram, no regard for lawful and unlawful. So in this time, Allah Ta'ala opens then the means and the methods for that individual to save him or her from the fire of Jahannam. Those individuals who adopt, embrace and grasp those opportunities that Allah Ta'ala gives, the leases, the chances, the opportunities, and they take benefit of those chances, Allah Ta'ala opens the chances, Allah opens the doors, the methods for a person to repent and become good, then that individual saves himself from being extremely unlucky and unfortunate. This dua is this, that dua to be saved. Now, in every generation, Allah has prepared and made the methods for the people to be saved from hellfire, from the fire, because sins change in their form and their style in every generation, every decade. Shaitan, he brings about new methods and new sins and new ways of rejecting. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the example to us. Now, for example, in this day and age, today, in the generation we're living in the age we're living in, the sign and the letters of being unfortunate and lucky that are written on our foreheads are due to so many sins that we cannot imagine. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revived his dhikr, his remembrance. Subhanallah. And with regards to dhikr, Allah ta'ala has announced that where the noor of dhikr reaches, how a person is saved. So Allah has given a great means, a method to the insan who takes hold of the assistance of dhikr. Allah Ta'ala says, I will annihilate that person's destiny of being unfortunate, unlucky, destined for Jahannam. Big asset is the dhikr of Allah. Now, because in this day and age, many people, it's very difficult to be saved from Jahannam. So Allah Ta'ala, in this day and age, via the reference and the teachings of the awliya, Allah has given us dhikr. Now, just like we today are living in this age, this generation in the dunya, this moment in time, in this country, in this hemisphere, this environment, we could say that this is extreme unfortunateness, a person very unlucky, that Allah Ta'ala has made that means very easy for us, that method to be saved from hellfire. We cannot imagine how easy that in the previous generations, even forget 30, 40 years ago, if I could just go 15 years back and I say that do dhikr like this, they could not imagine that dhikr can be done like this, that dhikr is being done here, the person being forgiven in the USA, in America, in California, the stamps are being given, that Allah Ta'ala has given the stamp of approval that this man or woman, brother or sister, is being forgiven. Tell me. So simple that today very fast is the dunya running to Jahannam. In the same way speedily Allah Ta'ala has made it easy. In other words, how? That Allah Ta'ala took dhikr out of isolation. This is not that generation now, a person doing dhikr on his own, making his own numbers, earning Jannah, Paradise. Allah says, no, let's bring the dhikr to a gathering. Bring it to the gathering. How did Allah Ta'ala make it to the gathering? How did Allah Ta'ala bring it to the gathering? In this country, if we see, did we know what was dhikr? Did you know what was dhikr of Allah? We couldn't imagine that we'd be sitting here like this. And all those sitting here, their grandfathers and fathers didn't know what is dhikr, how to do it. What's the meaning? I know when I came here, what happened to me, and what's happening now. Subhanallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's work, how Allah ta'ala unravels things. And look at the badbakhti, the extreme unfortunateness in our destinies. What would it be if we didn't have the zikr? The Allah ta'ala said, my zikr, my remembrance, what did I do? I showed it. Where did Allah ta'ala take it from? Where did the words come from? The teachings come from? Layer upon layer was unraveled. It's come to the homes, to the pockets, to the cars, to the shops, walking, talking. Zikr is there for us, with us, all the time. Is it not the case? Allah has made it so easy. Those same kalamat, the same verses, the same thawab, the same benefit, the same forgiveness, the same bakshish, the same level of reward in every majlis. Allah Ta'ala, He has covered the whole world due to this dhikr, due to His remembrance. Because Allah Ta'ala has given the guarantee with regards to His dhikr, His remembrance, that the action that will save people the most from the adab, the punishment of the grave, is the dhikr of Allah. This is my dhikr. And who will get the highest level in Jannah? The dhakirin, those who do the dhikr of Allah. Who will walk into Jannah laughing and smiling? The dhakirin, those who do the dhikr. And what amal is there that suddenly within a second will turn all of the sins and zinas of the life into a good deed within a second, within one good deed, which is the deed of dhikr of Allah. Imagine, tell me, can there be any deed that equivalent to this? That dhikr of Allah gives so much benefit. And the first step of doing a dhikr in this day and age, I'm saying, that the biggest fitna in this day and age, in the generation we're living in, today you're sitting here, and for example, people, this actions disappear from Darul Ulooms. Shaykh al-Hadith have left this sunnah. Great, great people. Nobody, for example, this imamah that you're wearing, nobody wears this imamah from decades, from a long time. Such an adheem sunnah of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. Not even in the Darul Ulooms, not in the institutions. Yes, definitely, qala Rasulullah ﷺ is there. Madrasas are full. Kitabs are read. By chance, I went to Karachi once, and the biggest Darul Ulum in Karachi, he was a Shaykh al-Hadith. He came to the masjid, and I was doing dhikr. Then he came to me, and he said that, please come to a madrasa. I said, subhanallah, me? Come to a madrasa? How can I? What big Darul Ulum. And I don't remember the name. I think 3,000, 4,000 students who are there studying. And mashallah, because we have more link with India, the brothers who know the madrasa in India, but there are great and big Darul Ulums in Pakistan as well, doing good work. So he said, please come to our madrasa, you have to come. We have a khatam of a kitab coming up, and we'd like to invite you to come. You know, the students who are studying Bukhari, please come and give them nasiha. I said, nasiha? I cannot give advice, you are forcing me. He said, please, for barakat, please come. Okay, I will come, I will listen, and we'll sit with ease. So he dragged me and forced me, and the ulama ikram, the respectful scholars, they took me to the Darul Ulum. And I sat down. There were 300 or 400 students there, students of Bukhari Sharif in the class, the Bukhari class, and I saw, I was there, and I was wearing the Dhoti Sharif at that time, the Izhar, and I was wearing the Imama, and everyone was looking at me, and I'm not speaking about a country where there is no Islam, I'm speaking about that country where Islam comes from. comes out from. I'm speaking about that established country. So when I saw and I observed with the barak of Hazrat, my Shaykh and mashallah, Hazrat's color had rubbed off onto me, the sunnah was strong, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. So when they said, please give nasiha, I said, I cannot give nasiha, but I'd like to share something out of grief or sadness. And the ulama ikram, the respectful scholars were there, and I research. I said, and I speak, even if they're upset, even if those who are close to me, I will say whatever is the haqq, the truth. I have to speak the truth. Whether people are happy or unhappy, whether people leave the majlis or unhappy, this is that, this is not right. I don't speak against individuals. I am incapable, not capable at all. But today the need of the ma'ashara, the actions that are taking people to Jahannam, I will explain that please don't do these actions and save yourself from the wrong actions, the wrong deeds. So I said to those who were gathered and assembled, I'd like to put a question to the whole gathering here. The students you see here, the children that go to school and colleges, you see them, don't you? They said, yes. I said, do you see how they are? And we said that, yes, in the morning. I said, how do you know that this is a child going to a school or a college or an institution in this van or that van? They said, we can see, we realize straight away. I said, how? They said, they have their uniforms on, so we know they're going to the school. Whatever color or design, he's got a tie, different colored tie. We can see that this child belongs to this school or this school or this college. I said, okay, automatically you have resolved the situation of the question. I said, okay, fine. So where you have brought me today, I thought that these students are of which school? Say, Subhanallah. Subhanallah. They said, yes, this is true. I said, which school do these students belong to? These children who are sat in front of me, these ulama, the respectful scholars. They said, they are the students of Bukhari class. I said, hey, is there no uniform that you gave out or distributed that when they came to the class of Bukhari, is there no uniform for the Bukhari student? Subhanallah. They understood. I said, after today, promise that none of the students after coming to the Bukhari class, nobody will take off the imamah. If you won't wear the imamah, then how will you spread the deen to the ma'ashara? If this sunnah practice dies today, then how will it be revived in the future? So you, the ulama ikram, the respectful scholars, know this, forget this debate, wajib, sunnah, you know all of this, the categories, that how great a sunnah this is, imam. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. If you want to debate, you can take out thousands of masals, but this is not your job. Your job is to grab hold of this action. Your job is to grab hold of the positive aspect, not the negative or the excuses to leave. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's qawm, his nation, he spoke about his nation that even if you do amal with riya by showing off, even then you'll get the reward because there's the benefit of the ummah. If the scholars sit with pride, if people think good of me, they'll think as I love the sunnah, then a normal human being, a normal Muslim, he'll get punished because he didn't think as a pride. But if an alim is doing actions out of pride, they'll think I'm a good alim, a good scholar, I'm an ashik of the Prophet. Allah said he will be given the full thawab because he is teaching the ummah. So even if his intention is a little bit distorted, subhanAllah. So I said, please give me ijazah. I said, I don't understand that. Please give me ijazah, I will leave now. And alhamdulillah, imamah, the blessed turban is common there now, common. So this is the objective. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah said that to take the people out of the life of extreme being unlucky, to come out of Jahannam, Allah has given us the means. So the biggest action today that can extract us from Jahannam, we can't become alims, we can't become the alims themselves, they are now in the dunya to earn roti, chapatis, food, they take all of different careers, because obviously their stomach's attached to the body, and the ma'ashara, society will even, we need respect and image, and the ulama think we won't be respected with the ilm. They take all of other careers. Let me become this, X, Y, Z. So they haven't stayed here or there. They're not in X, they're not in Y. They're not in A or B. They're not here or there. So today we are in the generation of darkness. Everything is linked to dunya, wealth, materialism, wealth. So whatever I say is correct. Brothers, listen carefully. So everyone's focused to the stomach. Sufi, Dhakir, Fakir, whoever is there. The first, everyone looks at the stomach. The benefit of the stomach. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us this. But there are some people, alhamdulillah, today do want to be saved from Jahannam, from hellfire. They say, how can this be in the ma'ashara that we go downhill? We need to be saved. So Allah Ta'ala, even if it's one human being if there are people of 100,000 in a village, I speak about Allah's rahmah, mercy. If there are hundreds of thousands of people in a town and there's one insan in that town, that whatever his heart feels good and he does dua, Allah save me from the fire of Jahannam, and he's seeking protection from Allah and the tears roll from his eyes, I swear by Allah and say here right now that due to that one individual's sincerity, hundreds of thousands of people who live in that locality, their destiny will change to the positive side. Subhanallah. So my brothers, here the dhikr that is being revived, This is not on your desire. It's not on the desire of this masjid. It's not on the desire of the people of Bolton. This is not for the sake of somebody's desire. Definitely there's a person with a broken heart. Otherwise our children cannot be saved. We could not wear the imam in our lives. Did you used to wear imamah before? The Blessed Prophet, could you wear shalwar, kurta, shalwar, kameez before? Could these things come off our bodies, the wrong things? Could they? Yes, the labels would come onto us. This person, he's that, he's become fundamentalist, he's this, or he's gone off track, grab hold of him, take hold of him. No. We couldn't do this. We couldn't do this. But Allah has protected that shaitan. He has given us the roots of how to stand in Jahannam. Isn't it? So what were we at that time? What were we at that time? Then there was no way out, no chance. We were extremely unlucky. Even then a person's not unlucky and unfortunate. Yes, that for example this sea had not come to us. How would we drink water? How can we drink water if we don't have the means? We didn't know that, for example, we are today, the water had not even come to us, for example, that we could wipe away this title of doubt and being unfortunate and lucky. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first delivered the water to us. Subhanallah, say subhanallah. That not my father came, nor my grandfather came, nor did my great-grandfather come, my uncle, or my son, or my brother. They didn't come, or nor will they come, subhanallah, except for me and the whole family. There's no need. There's no need. They're wealthy, extremely wealthy, lots of businesses. And how much I have, and after I pass away, when it's split and distributed, then we'll realize I'm sat in the masjid. I'm telling you this. That me, myself, I don't even know what lands, what wealth I have, how much there is, how much money of mine is present. I don't even know. And that phone and ask my brothers ask, they must be upset. No, I don't want to take, I don't want to give, nor my children worry about this. Never have we thought about this. But one thought and one figure, that how can we be saved from the fire of Jahannam and save others at the same time? Subhanallah. Yes, if that comes, even then I'll eat the same chapati. If it goes, I'll eat the same chapati. If somebody else gets it after we pass away, who's going to sit down and count? I had this much, hundreds of thousands, Arab millions. I'm speaking about millions. If you don't believe, phone and find out. The wealth is there. But don't come asking me for money, wealth. I have nothing. I have nothing in my possession. I have nothing. That the job I did, the business I ran, the little bit that of the money that I earned, that's what I have, and that's running the show. I don't need to take from anyone or give to anybody, and I fulfill the needs through this. But one dua, the Allah, one prayer, just the way you're giving food, give more dhikr over and above that. Subhanallah. Don't make me ill. Give me health, Allah. Continue to give me health. And don't give me pain in the stomach or in the eye. Sometimes the pain comes. The first figure is that the dhikr in the morning, will we be able to do it together? And if I get to the phone, they don't come to me to collect me. Many times, happens every day. The health, obviously, the illness is like the hand goes to the phone, then I stop. No, let's not cancel. I feel a bit better, let's go, inshallah. Allah will make the health better, subhanallah. Suddenly the hand stops. No, I'm feeling a bit better now, I'll go. Let's see what happens afterwards with the health. So I'm speaking about being extremely unlucky and unfortunate, that to when this extent that Allah Ta'ala has prepared for a person to come out of hellfire. Tell me, what a great hujjat and a means. That just this thought came into my mind at Salah time that we should discuss. Now, speak about the whole country. Don't know at this moment how many hundreds of people must be listening to me, brothers and sisters. They will listen. Then 30, 40 years they've been with me, or 50 years they've been with me. And from the beginning they've been with me when I started this work of the deen. Even their children, that to four generations, through that much time, people have been bayat my hands. Through the four generations, these youngsters, youths, they're sitting, their names, they were given when they were born in the laps of their parents, they're here, the alims, the scholars, look, he's sitting, his father was bayat, his daughter's bayat, and maybe the next person will become bayat. So whose kamal is this? Who achieved this? Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala wanted to save every one of these individuals to be saved, his children, his father's reached to Jannah. Allah wanted to save the children. He came from Vihari. MashaAllah, and mine his aqib that I didn't meet, but when we met, then MashaAllah, then he wouldn't leave my back, he wouldn't leave my side. Yes, that no, he's the right person. Yes, he wouldn't listen beforehand. Isn't this the case? Yes. And now, all these people are sitting here, yes, they think that I am the member of the household, because they're like a father or a relative, that we are close. Because a person, when he gets attached from long time, we're together, from a long time, many years, from a long time, and they're included in my sadness, in my happiness, because our relationship has been created. They've forgotten their previous relatives, but they sat here with me, stuck with me, mashallah. So this is called the relationship for the sake of Allah Ta'ala's love. So the meaning, the maqsad, the objective of what I'm trying to say today's message is this, that when it becomes very easy to Allah Ta'ala prepares such means and methods to for us to get into paradise, to be saved from hellfire, that to our families, our wives and children, to our beds, morning until evening, every moment in your ears, Allah Ta'ala says, my dhikr is delivered to you, and you can do it, and you carry on doing my dhikr, then tell me how, if you are not then saved from Jahannam, Allah will say that this is the badbakht, unfortunate and unlucky person. This is the unlucky person who has not taken hold of the dhikr of Allah, has not understood it, and he'll be taken hold of and thrown into hellfire, that no amal deed can save this person. If salah is accepted, it's accepted due to dhikr, isn't it? It's recitation of Quran will be accepted due to dhikr. Quran will be accepted due to dhikr. Hajj will be accepted due to dhikr of Allah. Sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ is attained through the dhikr of Allah. If you don't do dhikr, then how would you know about the sunnah? People don't even know about the white color, the importance of white color. And they, for example, stood on the minbar, on the musallas, on the prayer mats, in the wrong way. They don't know what is the sunnah of Rasulullah. What did he prefer? What libas did he like? They stood where you stood. Who you're trying to please? In whose court are you present? And you have come in which way, in which form? You are going to Allah. Allah Ta'ala wants that you wear the libas of my Mahbub, the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then come to me. That don't, why do you come to me? Allah Ta'ala says, in the form of others. In the form of others, O foolish person. Doesn't matter how many sins you have and you're drowned in sins. If you wear the libas, Allah says, I will forget your sins. And due to the sadaqah, due to the greatness of your libas attire, I will forgive your sins, Allah Ta'ala says. Is it not the case? Of course. This is the reality, Allah Ta'ala says, that make this the reality, you come in the right appearance. Allah Ta'ala says, if you come in the right appearance, I come to you, O Allah, with the right appearance and attire to ask from you, we have made our base. As the beggars, Allah Ta'ala says, that put on your cloak or your disguise, because nobody can disguise to Allah, can they? Nobody can deceive Allah. Nobody can play games with Allah. But we're saying, Allah, chalo, at least we'll come to you with the right attire. Allah loves his Habib so much, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that due to the sadaqah of this libas, Allah will not leave us empty-handed. He won't. But how people take off the imamas. Yes, the badbakhti is written on their foreheads. That badbakhti is written on the foreheads. Allah Ta'ala says that I have accepted you. You are my servant. And that person takes off the imamah and throws away. Oh, it's not important. Someone said it's not necessary. Tell me this. Yes, isn't this person unfortunate? This is called a person who is badbakht. Jahannam has taken hold of that person. My brothers, listen to me carefully. The extremely unfortunate is that man or woman in this day and age who has not taken benefit from this benefit and advantage that Allah Ta'ala has given. And the tariqah that Allah has told us about dhikr, and the way that that person takes that dhikr, alhamdulillah, morning and evening what has been prescribed for dhikr, if that person is not regular and is lazy in this, and he's not seen the importance of this, then that individual is doubtful, he's badbakht, he's unlucky and unfortunate, asal, genuine. Yes, he has closed all the doors to Allah, that I don't need this, I want to go to Jahannam. So never do this action, my friends, never do this action, remember. Consider and understand today, this is a great rule of Allah. Rather, I will request to you, and this will be based on your yaqeen, when you see your mother, then cry that Allah, she's not doing dhikr, Allah, give her dhikr, that no action will save her from the fire of Jahannam. Tell me, mother, fikr, Qari Sahib sitting, I have to say this. That what a great elder and pious elder and an alim, and I cannot dare to speak in front of him. But Allah, when he has opened the heart, he realized what is the dhikr of Allah, and he's an alim, he knows. And when the noor came, then his mother, and she lives in India in Baroch, and he went there and he said to me, the Hazrat, I request to you that my mother, please give her dhikr as well. Subhanallah. So how much fikr he had for his mother, and how satisfied he was that if dhikr has arrived to my mother, she's not just forgiven, rather Mujaddad al-Aftani, she will stand with him in the hereafter. And Hazrat Mujaddad al-Aftani said this, he said, I saw this, that I have been shown in my silsila, all the muridin, the students that will be to come, that all the students of Naqshbandi Mujaddadi silsila, all the students who are connected to my silsila, said Hazrat Mujaddad al-Aftani, and if then by chance they are Faruqi as well, they are from my progeny, from my offspring, from my descendants, if they are students in the Mujaddadi Faruqi, in the Mujaddadi Silsila, Naqshbandi Mujaddadi Silsila, I promise that I will save them from Jahannam and take them into Jannah with me, paradise. Subhanallah. So if a person loses out from this, then is he not extremely unfortunate and unlucky? Can there be anyone who is more unfortunate than this, that he doesn't take hold of his mother, his mother, and he doesn't take his old elderly father. And how can it be that Qari Sahib Hamas, he would have told his mother, he said, she doesn't understand, she doesn't know anything, she cannot speak, she doesn't even know Urdu, but please just recite the kalima for her and associate, give her the connection, and we'll be successful. She'll be successful. I said, okay, fine, I am your servant. And when he went, Qari Sahib, he took the time. How busy must have been, he prepared his mother, she was elderly and she couldn't hear anything properly, and he prepared her, and then she recited the kalima. Oh, and she became successful, very successful, mashallah. And now, mashallah, is the patient awaiting of death, but we don't have yaqeen ourselves. This is being unfortunate, extremely lucky. The person most unlucky is the son who cannot get his father forgiven from his du'as. The person who cannot get the forgiveness for his mother with his own du'as. Mother and father are closest to us. And if we don't include them in our du'as, we don't do fikr for them, we don't worry about them, then can there be anything more unlucky than this? Unless you're extremely unlucky. You kept on worrying about yourself. Your elderly mother gave you milk and brought you up. You don't care for her. You had no yaqeen about your mother. You used to go there, but you didn't have yaqeen that she can give you forgiveness and grant you forgiveness through you serving her. So my brothers, me coming here, this gathering, us going, this, thousands of times I've told you, this is not a gathering of peers and murids. I'm not a person who's seeking numbers and groups and quantities. Wahid, one, solely for the sake of Allah, for the ummah. Allah Ta'ala wants to save the ummah from the fire of Jahannam. And today, there's no other amal that we have khalis. Our Quran is not sincere, our salah is not sincere, our masjid is not pure, our tabligh is not pure, everything is impure. One action we have such, the dhikr of Allah, about which Allah Ta'ala said, until Qiyamah, my dhikr will continue. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Because until Qiyamah, I want to make people forgiven, and the effect of this will continue. The ismidah, the name of Allah reciting. So my brothers, let's appreciate this. On top of this, what we should see is that nobody's father can imagine, subhanallah, that tazkiyah, that this can be the style of tazkiyah. Allahu Akbar. This can be the style of purification, that for us to purify our batin and inner state, that we can do it from this method, that the sheikh is sat in the north and the students in the south, and tazkiyah is being conducted on the student. Allahu Akbar. So is that person extremely unlucky, who doesn't fill his sheets, who doesn't send his sins record, who doesn't consider his... The sheet system isn't for this reason, that you have to demonstrate that you're 100%. No, Allah Ta'ala is Kareem. Allah said, not this, whatever situation you're in, Allah Ta'ala says that present your situation to your sheikh, and he will give you the feedback, and Allah says, I will accept your deeds. That you're putting the crosses on your sheets, the sin is not being removed. Allah says, don't go back. Allah says, I've thrown you the ocean of mercy, I want to save you from the fire of Jahannam. And if you don't save yourself from this, despite that, then that is the unlucky and unfortunate person who is not saved from Jahannam. Who's not, the Naqshbandi Sheikh's hand, grab hold of it, become bayah, give your children that guidance as well, tell them to do bayah to the teacher, to the Sheikh and your relatives, and teach them the dhikr of Allah, and my ta'limat, my education that I'm telling you, giving to you day and night, one upon the other, words emanate, Allah Ta'ala delivers these words to us, and there are thousands of bayanat, and look at the preparation, here the bayan finishes, and three or four languages, the bayan comes out. Where does this all come from? I don't do nothing, so all of this is the preparation of Allah, because this is haq, this is the path of righteousness, there's no drama here. The whole dunya, this spreads, the message spreads, and badbakht, unfortunate, unlucky is that person who doesn't even realize now that he would be thrown into the bottommost ditch of Jahannam. The person who knows this and to his home this is coming, and then he turns his face from this. Is this not the case, my friends? This is the case. So it may not be that the candle is lit, the light is there, and we blow it up. Very big point, my friends, I'm sharing with you. So this is not a minor thing. This action we're doing, the dhikr of Allah, the effort is not a minor effort. It's a major effort. That's it. Keep on working. Keep on making effort and cry and do du'as. That Allah Ta'ala, I want to be saved from the fire of Jahannam. It's an extreme, severe thing. And severe sins, it's very difficult for me to be saved. But Allah Ta'ala, you save me. Wahid, your dhikr is the method, the sole method, the name, the assistance of your name will forgive, will make me protected from all of the sins and give me the forgiveness of my sins. Subhanallah. And the tazkiyah, the sheet system that's been given, every human being, every student should practice it. If the reply is coming, don't worry. The feedback comes to you, don't worry. That as long as you can, that when the gap comes 3 weeks or 2 weeks, then alhamdulillah, such a system should continue, that your tazkiyah, it will carry on upon the ma'mool, the system. Even while you're waiting for the feedback, your system will continue. So don't be lazy. I'll tell you this, never be that when my message comes to you, whatever halat you're in, whatever condition, grab hold of this, super glue yourself. Don't become extremely unfortunate and lucky, because you'll leave this world as an unfortunate person. Take full benefit. Give it to your children, to the people in your home, to the generation of the Muslimin, to the people in the environment, in your locality. Give them tabligh. Come towards the dhikr, my friends. There's no other method that can save us from the fire of Jahannam and save us from being unfortunate and unlucky people. This is wahid, one tariqah, one method, alhamdulillah, that overcomes to this path. Tazkiyah system with this ikhlas sincerity. The first sign is that straight away onto the head of that person will come the imam, subhanallah, and the imam of the blessed turban will come onto the head. Look here, they'll be sat in front of you, the revert, he sat here. Father was a person who didn't have iman. Grandfather, no iman. Mother, no iman, no belief. Allah has given him nur, light. He will be a wali, his children will be wali, his whole family will be wali, subhanallah. Naqshbandi. And don't know where he came from, where did he come from, where did he come to. His mashallah, imam on his head, he's listening to my words with enjoyment. He comes morning and evening to the dhikr. Have you seen him? This is the fortunate person, the lucky person. How he's been extracted from the fire of Jahannam, Allah Ta'ala has taken him out. Where he's sitting down, enjoying himself. He says, I enjoy dhikr. Subhanallah. Can we think? Can he think? And we, unfortunately, we run away. Astaghfirullah, our children, they're running away. Why? Look at the difference. That he took hold of dhikr with sincerity is the guarantee that the child that comes from you, your offspring, he will have nur ala nur. He will be a Naqshbandi. He will come with the nur. And Allah Ta'ala said this in the Quran, that Allah Ta'ala says, from the barren earth, the infertile earth, Allah Ta'ala allows alive things to come from the infertile, the barren earth. Allah Ta'ala says, from the dead comes the life. And we are alive and we are classed as deceased. We have been alive, born into homes of those people who recited La ilaha illallah, kalimas, we were hafiz. And look at our children. Look at our children, what have we done to them? Hafiz of Quran, we became. We took the Quran into our hearts. And father, our parents tried, worked out. And what are we doing with our children? How sad we have to say is so unfortunate. Yes, we make them bandits, criminals. We sit with them, look at wrestling and do wrong actions. We don't bring them to dhikr. Did your father do this with you? Is this what your father did when you grew up? Did he teach you this the way we are teaching our children? Like we are like animals. My brothers will not be saved. This is a life of a few days. It's a game, this dunya. I'm giving you a message. Me? Forget me. This thought came into my mind. There was no speech I prepared. Is this a speech, my brothers? This is not a speech. This is not a speech. This is not a lecture. These are words. This is pain being shared, isn't it, Haji Sahib? This is not a lecture, a speech. Do you understand what I'm saying? What I've said? Yes. So we don't want to be unfortunate. Unlucky, we want to be fortunate and lucky people. This ni'mal has given to us of dhikr, embrace it, put in your hearts without an excuse. So never leave a gathering out of being lazy. No majlis. Say, Allah has given me this ni'mal. How can I not go to this majlis? The question doesn't arise. I will go. Well, if you get weak or ill, okay, fair enough, Allah knows best. But don't leave a gathering due to laziness, due to being weak and soft, not going to dhikr. No, never do this, never. Never. Allah will be severely displeased. Severely displeased. May Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq and you all as well. Ameen.